Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program, hour number 2 of 3, now upon us this Saturday evening, July 9th. I'm your host, and it's good to have you with us on a very hot and humid evening in Memphis, Tennessee. James Edwards coming to you from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, broadcasting to the AM-FM affiliate stations across the country of the Liberty News Radio Network, and simulcasting, of course, online, as we always do, to a worldwide audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And libertynewsradio.com. I want to thank my co-host Keith Alexander for his contributions tonight during the first hour. Keith Alexander, excellent as always. And now, joining me, ladies and gentlemen, we mentioned it in passing a couple of times in our opening hour this evening, very big conference coming up. I have spoken at more events than I can remember over the course of the last 7 years during my stay as host of this show, but this conference coming up, and I don't say this to be sensational or to overhype it, is truly a conference that I am more excited about than perhaps anyone that I've ever been to. And we got a guy on that's going to tell you all about it. Richard Spencer, former assistant editor at the American Conservative and executive editor at Talkies Magazine. Richard Spencer is the founder and co-editor of AlternativeRight.com. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, James.
Always a pleasure. And, of course, Richard wears many hats. And another of them it would be the hat he wears for the National Policy Institute. And that is the conference we're here to talk to you about tonight. If you have not yet made your vacation plans for this fall, let me suggest a weekend to you. September 9th yes, through the 11th. September 9th through the 11th. I was looking at my notes here, Richard. It's like I'm seeing July 9th. No, that's the night Richard's going to be on the show. September 9th through 11th. Actually, 2 months from tonight. Easy to remember. In Washington, D.C. Yeah. Richard, tell them what is going to happen there.
Well, it's going to be very exciting, as you said. And I would like to invite all of your listeners to attend and or at least check out what we're going to be doing at npiconferences.com. Also easy to remember. And basically, the conference has two parts. And the first part is going to take place on Friday, September 9th. And that is going to be at the National Press Club. So, you know, one of the themes of this conference, I guess, is that we've decided to just charge right into the belly of the beast and do some pretty controversial things right in the heart of the District of Columbia. So we're going to be at the famed National Press Club, where, you know, which has been addressed by presidents and journalists alike and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to talk about something called the majority strategy. And it's I'll be brief about it here. Maybe we could talk a little bit more about it later. But it's basically the idea, which is developed by Peter Brimelow and Steve Saylor, among others. It's the idea that the Republican Party should reach in to its white voting base, its white Christian voting base, as opposed to doing all of these hopeless and embarrassing outreach projects towards blacks and Hispanics that will never vote for them anyway. And then the second plank of that is basically that it can, the GOP can achieve victory, and this is probably indeed the only way it will achieve victory in the demographic climate, which in many ways it has created. The only way it can do this is to pursue issues that have broad support by its white Christian base. And those are immigration restriction, which is wildly popular amongst everyone. From Catholics to mainline Protestants to evangelical Christians. You have issues, you know, you have 70% of the support among evangelicals. It has well over 50 among Catholics. I mean, it is wildly supportive of those who think that there is too much immigration. That's a big one. The other one is affirmative action, to end affirmative action. This is also something that is wildly popular. If they pursue those two things, they can basically be victorious for decades to come. And this is what we are presenting. It's very similar to the Southern strategy, Richard Nixon used to kind of, you know, redraw the map and just create a major realignment. This is what we're putting forth. And you are going to be there to talk about it, so I know all your listeners will be excited about that fact. And also Peter Brimelow of VDare.com will be there to speak, and Jared Taylor of American Renaissance will be there to speak about white identity. That is the why we need it. He'll be there, and I'll be there to, be the MC. So that will be very exciting.
You're talking about the National Press Club here, people, and this is open to registered conference attendees. And so this is just, again, to kick things off Friday, September the 9th of this year. Myself, Peter Brimelow, Jared Taylor, Richard Spencer at the National Press Club for your listening enjoyment. And then the main conference itself the following day, Saturday, September 10th, also in Washington.
Yes. And that's going to be a little different. In some ways, the Friday afternoon conference at the Press Club is going to kind of be for everyone. It's to show that our ideas have immediate political relevance, that they have strategic relevance and all that kind of stuff. The next day, something that I might even be even more excited about, because this conference is more for people who really want to think about these issues in a very serious way. And it's called Towards a New Nationalism. And obviously James will be there too, so will Peter and Jared and all that kind of stuff. But we'll also bring in a lot of thinkers who, they'll certainly agree with us. They'll be on the same wavelength with us in terms of these political and strategic things. But they're also just really independent and interesting thinkers. These are people who are thinkers and philosophers in their own right, regardless of what they might think about politics. And we have, this is, again, it's a very exciting lineup. Jonathan Bowden has actually just confirmed that he's going to come. I have to say, James, I think you have heard him speak as well. Mere mortals like myself and some others, we give talks where we'll go up and make an argument and cite some evidence and maybe tell a few jokes along the way. Jonathan Bowden is kind of like Brutus speaking before the dead body of Caesar. great evangelical preacher of the 19th century. He is truly a force of nature, as a couple of people have described him. It is going to be really exciting. He's going to be talking about man and Superman. And I just threw that out to him as kind of an idea to get his wheels turning, and he's going to come up with something that is going to be inspiring and mesmerizing and shocking. I mean that in a good way. He is truly an amazing figure.
Yeah, Richard, hold on right there, my friend. We got to take a break, but he is not exaggerating about Jonathan Bowden. Folks, he might not be a household name here in this country, but if you've ever heard him speak, I promise you that will be an event that you will remember for the rest of your life. We're just getting started tonight, giving you an overview about what this conference later this fall in Washington is all about. Richard Spencer is going to be with me for the bulk of this hour. We're going to give you a lot more details and then get into a couple of political issues before our time with Richard is done. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment.
When the truth is found to be. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be spending a little bit more time talking about this conference because I want to take all of the time necessary to impress upon you just how important it is for you to join us in Washington, D.C. As we have already established, I have agreed to speak at what promises to be an unprecedented weekend gathering this fall in Washington, D.C. If you go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, click on the article featured at our blog, second from the top. And folks, it's being sponsored by Richard Spencer, our guest tonight, and the National Policy Institute. I want you to join us there. The festivities will kick off with a press conference at the National Press Club. Richard was just speaking on that point on September 9th. It's going to be followed by the primary conference on September 10th. And if you go to that to our website tonight, thepoliticalcesspool.org, you can easily find links to the NPI homepage where you can get all of the details and register to be there with us September 9th through the 11th. Of course, Richard gave you the direct web address, which is npiconferences.com, npiconferences.com, National Policy Institute. Again, ladies and gentlemen, in addition to Peter Brimelow, myself, Jared Taylor, and Richard Spencer at the National Press Club on September the 9th, Friday, we are going to have the big conference event on Saturday, September 10th. So a great weekend in store. It'll be a weekend that you're going to remember, and I want you to make your plans to join us, as I have said. Richard, getting back to the presenters at the event on September the 10th, you had mentioned Jonathan Bowden, but there are many others, people that my audience is going to be readily familiar with.
Well, yes, definitely. And I'll mention before I get started that it's all taking place at the Ronald Reagan Building, which it's actually a federal public facility, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels like a very elegant hall. It's a very beautiful place. And, you know, of course, we've had some struggles with these damn hotels canceling and so on and so forth. This is one of the reasons that we chose the Ronald Reagan Building is that it is a federal facility. We are protected by the First Amendment. So, you know, the prospects of this being canceled, if they cancel this, then we've entered a whole new level of political censorship.
Yeah, I'm glad, Richard. Go ahead, Richard. I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, I think that's all I want to say. I think this is a solution that we've come to just simply because, you know, these leftists will attack us. They did terrible things to Jared Taylor. And sadly, all these businessmen are a bunch of cowards, we found out. And they, you know, the second they feel any heat, they just cancel the thing and, you know, it becomes a real problem. But we're not going to have any of those problems. Because it's a federal facility and it's a beautiful one. It's not like going to the DMV for a conference. You actually get to see. And the District of Corruption, these federal buildings are lavish. You know, all our tax dollars go to them. Sadly,
I'm really glad.
Enjoy it for a little bit.
Really glad you brought that up, because inevitably people are going to say, "Well, listen, you know, Jared Taylor has tried to put on a couple of conferences, and you know, the radical leftists have been successful in putting sufficient pressure in, you know, collusion with their cohorts in the media, have been able to put sufficient pressure on some of these hotels to cancel Jared the last couple of years. Well, that's not going to happen this time. You know, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I'm certainly, you know, booked and ready to travel. You're not going to have to worry about hotel cancellation. This is taking place at a government-operated facility, and by law, they cannot cancel anyone based upon, well, anything. And but people are going to be saying, well, where are you going to stay? Well, if you go to npiconferences.com, you will see, of course, the press conference is going to take place at the National Press Club, the main conference at the Ronald Reagan Building, both in downtown Washington, D.C. And NPI has listed for you a selection of recommended hotels, great places within walking distance, many of them, to both locations, the National Press Club and the Reagan Building. It's all there at npiconferences.com.
Yes, definitely. And we're working with one hotel to get a good rate, and we won't be doing anything there. So it's, you know, there would be nothing for them to cancel, but we are working on getting people an even better rate. But there are a number. People can check out the website and find a good place. And if you're a wealthy individual, you can find a really excellent place to stay. You know, very close to the conference. So anyway, but I'll go on because the real exciting stuff is the meat of the conference. And that also includes, you know, Sam Dixon, who I know has been a guest on this program many times. He's been a mentor to you and me and a number of us. And
that's
he'll
right.
be talking about, you know, a book that's had a, you know, great effect on me. It's The Dispossessed Majority by Wilmot Robertson. And he'll be talking about the idea and the ideal of the ethnostate. So again, you know, we're, you know, in some ways the first conference is more of you know, immediately relevant, newsworthy, strategic. The second conference is where we take a step back and we really think about big issues. And that goes on for everyone else in the conference. The, you know, John Glad will be there. He's a Russian historian, and he'll be talking about mass immigration and some of the genetic implications of mass immigration into the West. My good friend Alex Kurdajic, he'll be talking about Masters of the Universe is the title of his talk, and that is about the European leaders who are inviting all sorts of people into Europe and the European Union. And this goes on from Keith Preston, who's a great writer, a libertarian thinker. Byron Roth, who's written monumental work on mass immigration across the world called The Perils of Diversity. Thomas Love Sunich, who I imagine he's been on the show.
Oh, yes,
point.
Absolutely.
James, he's a literary theorist and philosopher. I mean, that's, these are serious people. And he'll be talking about how, the intellectual and ideological underpinnings of a real nationalist right in America. And Jared Taylor will be there. He's actually going to talk. He's going to talk again about white identity and, in many ways, how we can get to the idea of an ethno-state or the idea of a new nationalist movement in America. So there'll be more. We'll have panel discussions. We're going to have a lot of Q&A sessions because I know our members and attendees really want to engage the speakers and things like that. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be really intellectually challenging and stimulating. And then it's also going to be at a beautiful place. And, after the conference, we'll all, go out and get drinks and, continue the discussion on into the night. I mean, it's just going to be a really fantastic weekend.
Folks, we can't over-exaggerate, really, the value of this conference for people, and I know there are several of you out there, many of you, who are listening to this show tonight that eat, live, and breathe this stuff. This is going to be your Disneyland. But for even the occasional or casual, curious observer, there's going to be much for you to enjoy here as well. It's a great weekend trip to get away, get to Washington, D.C., and spend time with truly the creme de la creme of this movement: Peter Brimelow, Sam Dixon, Richard Spencer, Tomislav Sunich, Jonathan Bowden, Alex Kurdajic, and more, Jared Taylor, and myself. We'll all be there, and we look forward to spending a weekend of fellowship and camaraderie and exchanging ideas that can only happen when you're in the presence of other like-minded individuals. And it's taking place at two of the most prestigious locations in Washington, D.C., the National Press Club, the Holy of Holies, and then, of course, the Ronald Reagan Building. You can get all of the information, the details that we've already given to you and additional details not yet presented to you at npiconferences.com. Now, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Richard Spencer is going to talk a little bit more about the majority strategy, or the sailor strategy, as we call it. And I think you're going to enjoy the conversation. Stay tuned, everybody. Peter Brimelow. Yeah, Peter Brimelow will be there, but Richard Spencer's with us now, and he'll be with us when we come back right after this.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. James Edwards here, the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Thank you for being with us this evening. Richard Spencer is our guest this hour of AlternativeRight.com and the National Policy Institute, and it's the latter of which he is on to promote, the National Policy Institute Conference, September 9th through the 11th in Washington, D.C. As you know by now, it kicks off on September the 9th at the National Press Club, followed by the conference itself Saturday, September 10th. Register. You can register tonight, right now. Why wait? npiconferences.com, npiconferences.com, or just go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm sure you have it bookmarked, and click the link at the blog entry at the top of the page, and you can make your way over to npiconferences.com. you know the speakers, you know the substance, and now I want to dig a little bit deeper. When I called Richard earlier today just to reconfirm his appearance tonight, and I was walking through Walgreens when we were speaking on the phone, picking up a few items, and we kind of got into a pretty detailed discussion about the sailor strategy, which Peter Brimelow calls triumphant and denied, and Richard and I were just marveling, and he made mention of it in passing earlier, you know, how the Republicans have run from, you know, they try so hard to alienate their white base, and these people continue to be, to the chagrin of the Republicans, the only voting bloc that still pulls the ballot for the GOP. If they would embrace them and stand up for them, stand up for their own people, they'd almost, I don't see how they could lose, Richard, but what's in play there? What's the psychology behind what they're doing? Is it just purposefully to self-destruct?
To get into the psychology, we're going to have to get into white guilt and this sad just suicide of the West, because they, in some ways, this the fact that Republicans don't want to stand up for the people who vote for them is emblematic of this bigger problem. But, you know, before we get into that deep issue, I think it's worth pointing out just how dramatic this sailor strategy, the majority strategy, really is. And in a way, the Republicans, they hate the notion of being a white party, or, you know, just the party of Christians in the South and Midwest and so on and so forth. They think that's terrible. They need to constantly reach out to blacks and Hispanics. But the fact is, the GOP has been winning elections via the majority strategy for a number of cycles now, and yet they're embarrassed to admit it. And if you actually look at 2008, I mean, I think this is where it really came into focus for me. McCain was a terrible candidate. He's, you know, kind of old, crazy, warmonger. No one liked him. He was following one of the worst presidencies in our history, wildly unpopular George W. Bush. And he generally got trounced at the polls. He won about 46% of the vote. Which in our system is pretty much a landslide. He actually easily won the white vote. He got some 55-56% of white people voting for him. And if you think about this, if Ford had gotten as much of the white vote as McCain had gotten, he would have easily defeated Jimmy Carter in 1976. It's kind of amazing. The country, in a way, the white vote is less divided now, so you know this is a long-term trend, and it's actually an international trend. You know, I've been spending a lot of time in Canada over this past year and a half because of my wife is Canadian, and you know this past election was in many ways a kind of sailor strategy or majority strategy election. I won't go into all the details. Essentially, the Liberals thought they could win one and they could defeat Harper, Stephen Harper, who's the conservative leader. And they actually got totally trounced, and the far left, the New Democratic Party, became the official minority, the opposition. But what you see there is basically white people, white Canadians, going to the Conservative Party as their party that's going to, you know, put limits on socialism and taxation, that is going to, you know, keep Canada, so to speak. You basically have a lot of the kind of old line of centrist white liberals, that is becoming a non-functioning party. And you have all of these minorities that Canada has imported over the past 20 years. And I have to say, I mean, living, I was spending a lot of time in Toronto, and they have outdone America in many ways in terms of multiculturalism and just insane policies of bringing in Southeast Asians, East Asians, Jamaicans. I mean, they have truly created a universal society. But you basically have all of those votes going over to the New Democrats, to the real left-wing policy. And it's not even a question really of ideology, political ideology. I'm sure there are tons of Asian small business owners who would prefer, you know, lower taxes. but they want to vote for Asians. They want to be governed by an Asian representative. And so you really have this racial, kind of racialized block voting happening. And, you know, look, this in some ways this makes me a little bit depressed even talking about it. I don't want to live in a world where we have racialized block voting. But this is the reality. And this is the way for the Republicans to actually do two things. When, which they obviously, that hopefully their ears will perk up when they hear that, but it's also a way for them to maintain an America that is recognizably American, that is actually connected with the America of, say, you know, my grandparents of the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and also the America of earlier generations, that there's actually historical continuity. And the way they can do that is to, as opposed to focusing on, say, warmongering in the Middle East and all this insanity or some issues that are really divisive, to really go after these issues that have broad support. And, you know, it's very funny because if you go on one of the mainstream shows or something like that, you talk about, I want to restrict immigration. Oh, you're a crazy right-winger, you know, Nazi or whatever. Well, the fact is, that might be true in the mainstream media. The fact is, immigration restriction is overwhelmingly popular. It's unbelievable that you have the disconnect. A marginal issue in the eyes of the mainstream media is something that is, you know, wildly popular amongst everyone else. And I, you know, if you look
That's
at some
right.
statistics, this is one that was prepared by the Center for Immigration Studies. All likely voters, restricting immigration, it has 65% support. That's basically, I mean, when you think about it, that's the vast majority of the white population, and even a lot of, say, you know, Asians, Hispanics, and blacks, I'm sure, support it. You look at, from, you know, Catholics, you know, say, oh, Catholic, you know, there's a lot of Hispanics, a lot of these bishops are pro-immigration, this is terrible. Well, yeah, 70% of Catholics think there is too much immigration. And if you look at actually the statistics of too little immigration, i.e., you know, they want more, these are tiny. It gets below 5% for all these. And basically, born-again Protestants, evangelical Christians, mainline Protestants, those are the people that basically think that's well over 70, pushing 80% of them think there's too much immigration. Even Jews, 80% of American Jews voted for Obama. You know, Jews are notoriously left-wing. They live in big cities, whatever. More than 50% of them think there is too much immigration. So basically, this is the overwhelmingly popular issue that dare not speak its name. And if the Republicans would pursue it, i.e. they would say, this is what we are about. We are going to preserve America, a continuity of America, where you're going to have the America of your grandparents and our founders and our ancestors, they could not only win, but they'd actually do something good for a change.
You know, Richard, you know, I can remember when one of the many big amnesty pushes was being made, and Lou Dobbs did a poll. I guess this was back in 08, 09, and it was, you know, literally over 90% of the American public, voting public, did not want amnesty for illegal aliens. And yet still the Republicans were pushing it, as well as the Democrats. And, you know, you have to wonder how much the Republicans can do before they alienate their base. And I've wondered that for a long time, but I guess they apparently can't do enough, because the only legitimate alternative is the Democratic Party, and it has to be pretty, pretty bad to get that bad. And so it appears as though they've got these people locked up, and they don't really like the fact that white people are voting for them. They would rather them not. But you know, no matter what, they're not going to embrace the identity of their party and give these people some red meat and give them a reason to turn out. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is just going to be one of many enthralling topics that are going to be discussed at the NPI conference this fall in Washington, D.C. Stay tuned. We're going to offer some final thoughts and parting shots on this matter when the Political Cesspool continues with our featured guest for the evening, Richard Spencer, right after these words from our sponsors.
We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, wrapping things up with Richard Spencer tonight, our featured guest. There's still an hour of the program remaining. We're just wrapping things up with Richard right now. Folks, you just heard Richard give you an exquisite commentary on a topic that Peter Brimelow of VDare fame will be addressing at this NPI conference September 9th through the 11th in Washington. He's talking about the Saylor strategy or the majority strategy. Richard gave you a nice little summarization of it, but folks, that's just one of the topics that you're going to be hearing these featured speakers talk about. There are 12 speakers at least at this conference that have been booked so far, and each of the items that they'll be addressing are equally provocative. Folks, can't stress to you enough, you need to seriously consider, if your financial means will allow it, to join us September 9th through the 11th in Washington, D.C. This is going to be a monumental weekend. Richard, of course, people can get more information at npiconferences.com. They can register tonight. Talk about it with your families. Register tomorrow, next week, but register. Any final words, Richard? Anything we haven't covered yet? I think we've given a little bit saturation coverage here to the fundamentals about this conference, and folks, don't worry. We're going to be reminding you about this early and often in the 2 months to come before the conference date is upon us. But Richard, anything left this evening that you'd like to discuss that we haven't yet brought to the table?
Well, you know, I don't think I even want to start talking about some of the other speeches, because you know they would demand another couple of hours, because they're going to be quite interesting. But I think they're just two things that I would want to leave your listeners with. And the first is that we're serious. This is going to be a big conference. We take this stuff seriously. We want these ideas to get out there, and we're going to bring the best people from around the world to articulate these ideas. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that these conferences aren't just about the speakers, the actual speeches, and so on and so forth. A lot of them really are about our community. And it's an intellectual community, but it's also a social community. And, you know, I know when a lot of people who think that they're crazy because they agree with James Edwards, their boss would look down upon them if he ever found out. A lot of these conferences are great because you come and you really realize that, I am not alone. You have this. I mean, I remember being at the Amarin conference, which of course was canceled. I remember being there, and I was talking with Sam Dixon, who's of course been on the show, myself, an Afrikaner activist. Whose name is slipping my mind at the moment. Perhaps you could help me. But he was there. You had people really from all three very different walks of life, and from different parts of the world. And we were all there with so much in common. And we all thought, we were all on the same wavelength. We thought in the same ways. And there's something that's just very inspiring about meeting smart people who really think like you do, and you realize that no, this is a healthy and natural way to think. This is an intellectually stimulating, and not like these horrible, stifling political correctness and liberal ways of thinking. This is something that makes you feel good and challenges you. I think in some ways, even if you tune out for all the speeches, it's worthwhile just to meet other people who are like you.
You're going to get great speeches, but you're going to get great fellowship, and I use that word because it's so appropriate. You will be part of an invigorating weekend, a refreshing weekend. You will be among like minds, and I tell you, it really charges the batteries and stirs the soil. Folks, you've got the information. Now do your part. npiconferences.com. It's a weekend in Washington, D.C. We want to see you there. We're going to make it worth your while. This is going to be a conference to remember. And Richard, I want to thank you, my friend, for making some time tonight to come on and give us the who, what, where, when, and why, the basic details. Everything else is on the internet for you, npiconferences.com, and we'll be reminding folks about it. And Richard, I know you'll be appearing with us a couple of more times before September the 9th.
That would be great. I always love coming on the show.
And we always love having you. And I'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Richard Spencer, everybody. Bye. Check out his work at alternativeright.com. And we want to thank Richard, of course, once again, for being with us this evening. Now, quickly, a gentleman who has been waiting patiently, Gerald from Texas. Gerald, welcome to the show.
Hello, James?
Yes.
Well, I didn't make it clear to your call screener that I wanted to ask a question of Richard Spencer, so I'm a little frustrated. But I would like to make the hope that they will try and get this conference on C-SPAN and, get it a lot of media attention, because it sounds like the sort of thing which should be on C-SPAN to begin with. You know that our point of view is...
Yeah, C-SPAN...
...from access to the mainstream media, but I wonder, is there anything you think we could do to try and get C-SPAN to cover this?
You know, that's interesting. I haven't thought about that yet, and I guess we should have had you on when Richard was still on. That would be an appropriate question for him as the event organizer. C-SPAN used to cover conferences like this. I think C-SPAN aired one of the early, this was back in the 90s, one of the early American Renaissance conferences in its entirety. And, you know, back when things were a little more fair than they are now, C-SPAN would absolutely cover a conference of this magnitude, despite it being a gathering of people that share a right-of-center perspective. But that is certainly something worth looking into, and with it being held at such prestigious venues as the National Press Club and the Reagan Building, that could only help the prospects. Gerald, I really appreciate you for bringing that to mind. I'll be sure to run that by Richard next time I speak with him. Yeah, you know, our message is what's right for all Americans. I mean, we say that, and we say it with certainty, because we're right about these things. And as Richard mentioned, you know, if you look at the position of our speakers on immigration, another hot topic, you know, the topic of so-called gay marriage, you know, we're right on these things. Where we stand on these issues and so many others is where the vast majority of Americans stand. You know, make no mistake about it. You know, your perception of reality can be skewed by the propaganda you see on television and the propaganda coming out of Hollywood. But Main Street America, the working class, blue-collar Americans, they agree with Richard Spencer, and they agree with me, and they agree with our caller from Texas right now on these issues. Now, we might be cast as pariahs by these people, but that's because they know, if given an opportunity, our message will resonate with the general public, because we speak their language, and we hold their viewpoints, and they hold ours. Gerald, Call in next week. I tell you, it's always good to hear from you, and we appreciate your support. We're coming up on the bottom of this hour now, but I appreciate you for calling in. You were a little bit garbled in my headset, but I can make out most of what you were saying, and want to thank you for what you added to the program tonight.
You bet, James, and thank you for all the good work you do. Good night, and I'll be listening to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, my friend. And, of course, Gerald, it's people like you that make this work possible. And I mean that. We're a listener-supported radio program. We can't get commercial sponsorships because of our message. It doesn't go along with the message of the power brokers and the puppet masters. And so, you know, you're not going to see Coca-Cola sponsoring the Political Cesspool radio program, but we are able to exist, and we are able to reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people across the country on AM and FM, you know, affiliate radio stations and on the internet because of people like Gerald in Texas and because of you, everyone listening to this show tonight. That's how we are able to, you know, raise the funds necessary to keep our work going. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. The third hour of tonight's broadcast coming up in just a second. Stay tuned.